And so I'm going to get straight into the Word this morning. You've got your Bibles, your notebooks I want to share. We're starting a series this morning. It's not a brand new series. I would normally say we're starting a new series. It's not new, it's old. What do you mean old? Because I shared it 10 years ago. So we'll see now who was here 10 years ago. Some of you were, and so this is going to be by means of just refreshing and reminding, which is always good. We need that. As a matter of fact, most of the stuff that we share from this pulpit on a Sunday is nothing new. You and I have heard it before, and so we just need to hear these things again, isn't it? And so I'm gonna share this series, and I'm starting with the message this morning is pressing the fast forward button. Pressing the fast forward. How many of you can remember that from 10 years ago? All right, good. Got a couple of good faithful ones here. All right. Some of you still deciding. The reason I'm sharing this is because this is probably one of the most popular series I've ever shared. And it's something that we have found as pastors has really helped not only us in counseling and helping people, but we've just had this come up again and again and again over the last 10 years. And so I've just felt to share it again. You know, I met with a lady some years ago who was involved in an affair, and she was involved with this guy at work. They'd been involved for more than a year, almost 2 years, and she tried to stop this affair numerous times, but because I think she wanted to stop, he certainly didn't want to stop. And so, you know, you can imagine he was just, you know, slowly winning her back every time, and it would just pick off where it left off. And so she got to the place where she actually came to see me and said, you know, I need to confession, been involved with this, want to stop, what do I do? So I just suggested, I said, why don't you quit your job? She said, quit my job? You know, clearly I come to the wrong person, wrong advice. And so I said, well, you've tried to quit the affair and you can't. You've just told me. And I said, the next step is possibly quit your job. She said, well, I can't afford that. She was in a very good position, management position, earning really well. She said, I can't afford that. I said, well, can you afford what's lying ahead? And I explained to her pressing the fast forward button. Ever watched a movie and you press the fast forward button almost to the end? I want to see how this thing ends. Most of us, we don't do that. But I know there are people that page to the end of the book and they want to see, all right? They want to see how this thing ends. Ah, okay, now let's read it. You know, it's like, calm my nerves. And so that's the principle. That's the idea. But we can apply this in life as well. We're just pressing the fast forward button. And I said to her, I said, have you pressed the fast forward button? She said, what do you mean? I said, your husband is going to find out. It's just a matter of time. And when he does, if he doesn't kill you, he's certainly going to divorce you. Because this is not a one-night stand. This is not an accident. This is something that you've been willfully, deliberately been doing for almost the last 10 years. And you've been cheating. You've been deceiving him. You've been lying to him. And so if he finds this out some way or another, and I can tell you now it will, it's going to cost you your marriage. And then it's going to cost you your home. And then it's possibly going to cost you some friends. And there's a knock-on effect. Whereas if you share it and you bring it to light, there's a much better chance that there's going to be grace and we can possibly help you through it. But you see, here's the thing. The enemy gets you and me to focus on our immediate circumstances, or can I say to focus on the short term. And so she was focusing on the short term. But it's so nice and he's treating me so well and I've never felt so good and my husband doesn't do these things for me. And so she was sharing all of that. And what is that? That's just being short-sighted. That's all it is. Because of course it's nice and it's fun and exciting, Because sin generally is. Otherwise, you and I would never get involved in sin. And so let's just settle that up front. Sin is nice, and it is fun, and it is exciting. And the enemy gets us to focus on the short term, on the fun and the excitement, rather than the consequences of the long term. And when you and I pause for just a couple of moments to press that fast forward button, just to, in our mind's eye, just to ask ourselves, what are the possible consequences? How's this thing going to work out and play out if I stay on this road? What does it look like down the line? When we do that, it gives us perspective. And so all I'm doing this morning, I'm asking you in various areas of your life, just press the fast forward button. Look beyond the moment. Because you'll find smart people, wise people, do this. They don't focus on the now, but they just look ahead. And they look at, where's this road taking me down the line? Imagine quickly, if the prodigal son had done this, he wouldn't have ended up where he was. Imagine if somebody had just stopped him for a moment and just said, like, whoa, just hang on. Where are you going? No, I'm going to the city. And then? No, then I'm gonna have a good time. And then? No, well, you know, I'm gonna do what I've always wanted to do. And then? Well, you know, I'm gonna party, I'm just gonna live it up. And then when your money runs out, and you have no support structure, and you don't have a job, and what then? But you see, there was nobody to ask him that question. And he probably wasn't even open to that question. And so he never pressed the fast forward button. And we know the rest of the story, how that story goes, how he squandered his inheritance on wild living and partying. Now listen to what the Bible says. We pick up the story from Luke 15, verse 14. About that time, when his money was gone and a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve, and he persuaded a local farmer. So in other words, he goes and begs a farmer, please, just let me do something, even if I've got to feed your pigs. He persuades a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. And the boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the swine looked good to him. And that's crazy. That's how desperate he was. And no one gave him anything. And then we read these words. And when he finally came to his senses, why is it that sometimes we've got to mess up our lives before we come to our senses? Come on. We've got to lose something. Lose our marriage, or lose our job, or lose a business or something before we come to our senses. Why is that? I think it's because we just don't press the fast forward button. We don't ask ourselves, if I stay on this road, where is it going to lead? What is the most likely destination? If I keep treating people the way I'm treating them, if I keep walking around with this arrogant, prideful attitude, you know, I've arrived and look at me. What does Scripture say? Where am I going to end up? Pride comes before a fall. So if we don't do that, if we never press the fast forward button and ask ourselves that question, guess what? We just keep going. I don't know about you, but if it's that simple to keep ourselves from tragedy and from crisis, just by pausing for a couple of moments and pressing the fast forward button, just looking in our mind's eye, where am I heading? If it's that simple, I want to do that. And do you know that you can do this in any area of your life? You can ask yourself, if we keep spending the way we're spending, if we keep cutting corners at work, if we keep being dishonest, where are we going to end up down the line? Now, of course, that's the negative. That's the bad. But you can do exactly the same thing in the positive. And you can say, if I keep treating my wife with kindness and respect and making her feel like she's the best person in the world, where's that marriage going to go? Come on, all right? And of course, there are no guarantees. There are exceptions. You can be really good to your wife, and she can still go and have an affair. It's like you can be fit and in shape and in your 40s and have a heart attack. You can be terribly overweight and unfit and live till you're 90. But what are the odds of that? Come on. And so if you and I try and defy the odds, we think, oh, you know, I'm going to do this, and everybody else gets caught, but I'm not going to get caught. I'm going to, if we live like that and we try and defy the odds, it's like playing Russian roulette and thinking, you know, you're going to get away with it. But if we're smart, if we're wise, we're going to ask ourselves one simple question, and here it is. What's the most likely outcome? What's the most likely place I'm going to end up if I stay on this road? You know, I think of Rahab in the Old Testament. She had two guys come and knock on her door one day. Now, she was used to guys knocking on her door because she was a prostitute. The Bible calls her Rahab the harlot. And so she also ran a bit of an inn, a bit of a bed and breakfast, probably more bed than breakfast, but be that as it may. And so these two guys, they rock up, and they didn't need her services as much as they needed accommodation this time, all right? And so they needed accommodation. They were spies from the Israelite camp across the River Jordan over there. And so they were sent in. They were on a reconnaissance mission because, you see, the Israelites wanted to attack Jericho and take over the city. And so the city was on high alert because they'd heard about these guys. And so they were just checking everything. There was panic and fear. We'll read it in a moment. I'll quickly show you from Scripture. And so Jericho is seen as possibly the oldest city in the world. But it was a big city, very well fortified, strong walls, massive walls. These walls were so wide that a chariot could drive on the top up there. And they were so high that they had apartments built into these walls. And the bottom couple of stories were just solid wall. But then from up there, they had a couple of windows in these apartments where it was safe to do that. And Rahab had her home, her apartment, in up there somewhere where she had a little window. And that's where they were going to spend the evening. And so when the king of Jericho heard that there were two guys snooping around his city, he immediately sent some guards to go and arrest them. And so they ended up at Rahab's home. They knocked on the door, and she said, yes, they were here a couple of moments ago. They've just left. You've just missed them. And if you hurry, you'll probably find them. But meanwhile, she was hiding them. And you think, why on earth? You know, Rahab, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And Scripture gives us the answer, and I want to read it to you. Listen to this. This is what she says to them. She says, I know the Lord has given you this land. I know the Lord has given you this land. In other words, I've pressed the fast forward button. I know how this story ends, and it's not good for us. Listen to what she says. We are all afraid of you. Everyone is living in terror. For we've heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Can you see what's busy happening here? She's pressed the fast forward button. She knows where this is heading for her and her entire family. And so right there she decides, if I keep staying here, if I keep doing what I'm doing, there's disaster is waiting for me. But if I follow the God of these Israelites, I stand a chance. And you know what's interesting here? Rahab is mentioned 5 times in the scriptures. And every time she's mentioned, she's referred to as Rahab the harlot. Why Rahab the harlot? Rahab the prostitute. Why? Because after all, God doesn't hold our past against us. It's not where we've come from that's important. It's where we're going that's important. So why does the Bible keep referring to her as Rahab the harlot? It's for our sake. Because the Bible was written for our sake. Because Rahab represents every person who's on the wrong track and decides to get onto the right track. Every sinner who's heading in a direction and then they press the fast forward button and they say, whoa, hang on. I don't want to end there. I don't want to go there with my family. I'm not leading my entire family down that path. I want to go in a different direction. And so that's exactly what she did. Rahab's story is a story of hope. And so she ends up in God's hall of fame. Where's that? Hebrews 11. When you go and read Hebrews 11, you'll see her name listed with other legends of the faith. The guy who built the ark, Noah. The other guy who led millions of people out of Egypt, out of captivity, Moses. What about the guy who's walking with God? And then the Bible says, and he was not. So in other words, he didn't die. God just took him home. He never died. His name is Enoch. And so she ended up with many of those people just in God's hall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Because of one quality decision. You see, her story is the story of how God takes a life of shame and flips it right around and turns it into a life of glory simply because of a quality decision that she made where she says, you know what? I'm not going to live this way. I've been on the wrong track. I need to make some changes in my life. Now listen to what she says here. And now she's still addressing these spies. And she says to them, she says, now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I've helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all their families and their cats and dogs. All right. That's basically what she's saying. It's a bit of a cheek here. She's saying, you know, no, it's not just me, by the way. You know, I come with, you know, I'm a package deal. You know, I've got a whole family. All right? And then they say to her, we offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise when the Lord gives us the land. Then since Rahab's house was built into the city wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days until the men who are searching for you have returned. Then go on your way. Before they left, the men told her, we can guarantee your safety only if you leave the scarlet rope hanging from the window. And all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. Here's what I want you to see. She was heading in a certain direction with her life and her family. You could say she was going down this highway. This highway was taking her to a destination. Because let's be honest, every road leads to a destination. And right there, she was offered an off-ramp. And she grabbed it. She didn't waste any time. She took that off-ramp right there and there. And so one quality decision not only changed her life, but changed the life of her family and her descendants. She goes from being Rahab the harlot to Rahab in Hebrews 11. Rahab the outsider. She's not even a Jew, man. She's not an Israelite. To Rahab the insider. She's right in the lineage of Jesus. How does that work? One quality decision changes her entire life, entire trajectory of her family and her descendants. Can I ask you this morning, is there a quality decision that you need to make? Something that you're doing at the moment that you just know in your heart, I need to stop doing that. Whatever it is, maybe certain friends you're hanging out with, maybe a habit or something, or maybe there's something that you're not doing that you need to be doing. You're saying, you know what, I just need to be coming to church. I come occasionally, but I need to commit. I need to be here every single week, or I need to start tithing. I've never done that. I'm not honoring God in that way. Whatever it is. You see, for some of you, God is giving you an off-ramp this morning. And I want to encourage you, take the off-ramp with both hands. He's giving you an opportunity today to change something before it's too late. And you can sit around and you can make excuses and you can blame other people. They did this and they did. Or you can just put up your hand and say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm done with this affair because I know where it's leading. I'm done with this drinking because I know where this is going to lead my family and my children, my kids down the line. I'm done with this thing. I'm done with gambling. I'm done with dishonesty. Whatever it is that's busy happening in your life at the moment, you know what it is. I'm asking you, take the off-ramp, make a quality decision. You say, but Leonard, this is a bit radical. Oh, absolutely it is. Because Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 5, if your hand offends you, man, chop it off if you can't sort that thing out. If your eye causes you to sin, just pluck it out. What is he saying? He's saying act radically. And I'm sure if you and I were around with Rahab, we'll say to her, Rahab, this is radical what you're doing. You're walking away from your home and your people and everything. And she says, absolutely. But you know, are you sure? She says, hey, I should have done this a long time ago. So when God gives you and me an opportunity to take an off-ramp, to make a quality decision, I'm asking you today, take it. Grab it. Take hold of it before it's too late. Act decisively. That night, she lowered them down from her window with a reddish rope. We refer to it as a scarlet cord. And so she let them down and then left the cord there in the window, just as the spies had told her to do. Because that identified her and her home with the people of Israel, with God's people. Remember what happened when the Israelites left Egypt and they were told to paint the blood on the door frames and the lintels? When the angel of death came past and he saw that identified them with the people of God, he would pass over. That's where we get the word Passover from. And exactly the same thing happened with Rahab. When the Israelites eventually attacked and invaded that city, they saw that scarlet cord hanging and they passed over her home. And Rahab and the Bible says her entire family was spared because of that. And so that scarlet cord identified her with the people of God. Can I ask you this morning, is there something in your life that identifies you with the people of God? Where others look at you and they see you different. And I'm not talking about in an obnoxious way where you go to work and you're preaching to everybody there and telling them they're going to hell. Don't do that. Let them see there's something different in your life. Let them see you serving and helping and being kind to others and you honoring the boss and everybody is criticizing, but you honoring. When you do that, let me tell you, that's a scarlet cord. When people see there's something different in your life and your language is not seasoned with four-letter words, that's a scarlet cord. When the boys go drinking after work and you go home to your family, that's a scarlet cord. When you come to church, that's a scarlet cord. And so I want to say to the fathers and to the husbands here today, well done. for bringing your family to church, standing up and saying, we're going to church. This, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a scarlet cord. Well done. All right. Now, let me say to you, whenever you and I press the fast forward button, there are one or two changes that we need to make. And this happens in our lives from time to time. It's not a once-off thing I'm talking about. And when we make those changes, the people around us will see the difference. And normally those closest to us, our friends, our family, our colleagues, the people that we spend most of our time with, they're going to see the difference. And what are we doing? Just like Rahab, in a way, we're flying our flag. We've hung the scarlet cord. We're saying, I belong to a different group. I'm not following the world system. I'm not doing what everybody is doing. As we said last week, I'm following God, all right? Now, just in closing, following Christ means from time to time, you and I need to press the fast forward button. I'm not going to do it for you. I can't. You need to do it for yourself. You need to examine your own heart, examine your own life, examine your own spending, your thought life, whatever it is. Because that's what the Apostle Paul tells us to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, let each man examine himself. Examine whom? Himself. It's called the self-test. And that's what I'm asking you to do, by the way. Just press the fast forward button and examine yourself and have a look and see if I keep doing this, if I keep thinking like this, if I keep hiding this, where is this going to lead? Is this going to be good for me or bad for me? And make those changes. That's what wise people do. Let me say to you, that's what it means to be a Christian. It's not a case of, oh, well, you know, I gave my life to the Lord 20 years ago and I come to church every Sunday. No, I'm allowing God to work in my heart and in my life and to continually change me, making me more and more like Jesus. All right? I want to ask you to stand. I want to pray for us. What happened to the girl that had the affair, by the way? Anybody want to know? She took the advice. Believe it or not. She went in and resigned that next morning with immediate effect. She walked out, never went back. She shared with her husband, and we helped them. We walked with them. Not for weeks, for months. It wasn't an easy thing to put together, but they put it together. That was years ago. They still attend this church. They love one another. They love the Lord, and today they're serving God as leaders in the church. God is a God of restoration. But let me tell you, when God speaks to you and God gives you an off-ramp, I'm begging you today, take it. For heaven's sake and your own sake, take it. I do not want you to walk out of this service today and to say, that was a good service. I want you to walk out and say, God spoke to me today. There's an area in my life that I need to change. Let's bow. Our Father, we bow this morning before the Maker of heaven and earth. And for many of us here this morning, you've spoken to us. And for some it's about big things, and for some it's about small things. And I pray, Lord, that we'll stop making excuses and putting it off. We'll take a stand today and we'll say enough is enough. And we'll be radical about these things in our lives, because we want to serve you and love you, not half-heartedly, but with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. That's our prayer. Help us now as we go forward. And so, Lord, as we take this off-ramp, I pray that we'll go down that path like that lady and never look back and keep going and following you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Bless you.